Hare Krishna. Continued reading from chapter 19 of Japa, questions and answers. Here's a question. I find sometimes that I have to finish my rounds on the train because I travel a lot. It's probably not the best place to chant. Answer. It doesn't matter where we chant, whether on the train or somewhere else. The point is to chant where we can listen to the name. If chanting on the train means you have to chant softly, you can consider using a technique that increases your hearing. Some devotees chant by holding a hand cupped around one ear. This channels the sound from the mouth to the ear, or they wear earplugs which seem to amplify the voice. What makes chanting on a train hard is the distractions and not wishing to appear strange. Still, the principle is to listen. If you can listen on the train, then you can chant there. Hundreds of years ago, Gaudiya sadhus protected themselves from materialistic sounds by chanting in underground caves. Those sages were concerned about the vibration people were creating with their gossip and ethereal disturbances it caused. Imagine with what we deal with nowadays, with radio, television, the internet, and mobile phone waves, all of which disturbs the ether. Chanting is difficult in this age. But if somehow or another you can hear the holy names, whether it requires that you get up a little earlier or adjust in some other way, you will gain great benefit. And because it's difficult in Kali Yuga to control the mind, you should gather with others for Sankirtan. Next question. How do I distinguish between my mind simply being inattentive and when I'm inattentive as a result of having offended someone? It seems if I have committed an offense, I will not be able to focus on the holy name. Yes. The effect of offending devotees is that we lose taste. But we can't worry about that while we're chanting. Just listen. Otherwise, we will again be tricked by the mind. Oh, maybe I'm not paying attention to my chanting because I committed an offense. I wonder whom I offended today. I shouldn't do that again. I should apologize. But then we won't hear anything. We shouldn't worry about anything while we're chanting because the best cure for offenses is to chant constantly. Of course, if we know we did something offensive, we should ask forgiveness. But in any case, the cure is constant chanting. Don't become entangled in all these worries. Just try and listen to Krishna's holy names. At the same time, we should be wary of committing offenses whenever we are not chanting. But when we're chanting, simply listen. To not listen to the holy name is in itself offensive. So listen to Krishna's holy names. Japa time is not for thinking about our lives. Question. Sometimes suffering drives me to the holy name, but how do I actually take shelter there? Answer. One problem we may face when we approach the name out of suffering is this. Instead of approaching the name for service, we approach to have our suffering removed. Such an attitude would not give us Shudanam because our chanting is contaminated by the self-centered desire for liberation. The second problem we may face is that the mind will tend to revisit the suffering while we're chanting. But we can simply listen to the name, driven to Krishna's shelter as we are by our pain. If we endlessly cultivate our desire to serve Krishna and make our prime focus attentive hearing, we will be able to chant more purely. Question. Using the one mantra technique is harder when walking while chanting japa. The mind is so easily wanders and is distracted by the place where I'm walking. Do you have any advice on how to chant attentively while taking a japa walk? Answer. It is undoubtedly difficult to control the mind, but chanting japa means to listen to the Hare Krishna mantra. We have to accept this definition and work with it if we wish to chant offenselessly. Pramada, inattention to the Hare Krishna mantra, is an offense. If we were taking a walk with Prabhupada, who would be at the center of the walk? if we were to say to in Prabhupada's presence, look at how beautiful these daffodils are, look at the green hills and fluffy white clouds being driven by the wind, let me see what's over here, he would consider us sightseers rather than serious spiritual aspirants, and neither would there be any value to our having been with Prabhupada. Similarly, if we wish to admire the beauty of the area where we have walked, where we are walking, then we can go on parikrama. But going on a japa walk means going out with the understanding that we are chanting the holy name and all our attention should be fixed on that. Again, unless we understand the technique of chanting attentive japa and become determined enough to follow it, then whether we are walking or sitting, we will not be able to pay attention. We are accustomed to touring the universe when we chant japa. We are free to continue our touring, but if we wish to chant and attain the promised result, we must chant attentively. I've also noted that sadhus in Vrindavan who are in an internal and introspective mood or who are chanting seriously while walking tend to look solely at the ground, directly in front of them as they walk. This practice helps them focus their thoughts and also informs others to allow them their privacy. Downcast eyes serve as a sort of nonverbal do not disturb sign. In my opinion, offering chanters this type of respect would be a positive addition to our ISKCON culture. Question. While chanting the Maha Mantra, my mind becomes like a vacuum and I don't know what to do with it. So I tend to look for things to stimulate me. This, of course, hampers or even halts my concentration. What should I do? Answer. Everything negative can become positive if we are conscious. Actually, it is our duty to make them positive. If we have no taste for the holy name, if our heart and mind are empty when we chant, or if we find ourselves absorbed in material desires, then we should take these problems to the holy name and to our worshipable deities and use the negative to serve the positive. The stronger the negative pole of a magnet is, the more powerful it can draw the positive. Srila Prabhupada writes, quoting Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sundarbha 270, chanting the holy name is the chief means of attaining love of God, Godhead. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor on one having taken birth in a good family. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the verdict of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 471, purport. I added some emphasis there. Turn the vacuum, the material desires, the lack of taste into a prayer for help and take real shelter of the holy name. O Krishna, just look at my heart. O holy name, look at my heart. It is empty. I have no taste. I'm dependent on you as I take shelter of you and your holy names. It is good to go to the holy names empty and beg Krishna's names to fill you. Srila Prabhupada exemplified this mood at the end of the poem he wrote on his arrival in America. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I've been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. If you go to Krishna in the mood of taking full shelter, understanding that you have no capacity on your own, then you have to learn the art of spiritual life and can turn, then you have learned the art of spiritual life and can turn misfortune into fortune, powerlessness into power. Hare Krishna. We'll end this reading right now and there's still more in the 19th chapter with the questions and answers, but we'll leave that for another time. Hare Krishna.